Yesterday we gave you some Guyanese news, which is our beloved country. Now we'll take a look back at USA, along with international news, which seems to dwell on nothing at all. You would think there was nothing in the world for USA to talk about. Not its seniors who are eating cat food and walking, living in death, as we saw in the golden years. Just two Zionists in the Soviet Union. What they're trying to achieve, only some insane person would be able to speculate. It seems to have no logic whatsoever. San Francisco black community is up in air, preparing for boycott of public schools in the fall. Presently, they're running schools in makeshift buildings for over 3,000 pupils, trying to make up some of the deficits of the total lack of education that has been given to black Indian minority children. Harvey Milk says supervisors are playing games with hiking police wages when compared to the wages that firemen get, who in addition actually are doing much more work on their job. Some of the police are just sitting behind desks. Said there's great corruption in San Francisco police. Needless to say, that's where our conspiracy began. Working with the Treasury, two police, then working with oil interest, then working with the racist senator. Harvey Milk has been a friend through all the attacks. He's homosexual board, that's probably correct, on the Board of Supervisors. The honest gay on the Board of Supervisors. Court ruling that press cannot visit inside prisons. KQED was the petitioner. They were trying to visit brutalized and raped women in Santa Rita and men, but court says that news services will no longer be allowed to go inside prisons. It was the feeling of the authorities and the courts that news people provoked incidents. Interesting. How could news people in USA, who never print the truth, create any kind of incidents? CBS reports that majority of black teenagers in the nation, it was a night report early in the morning, said the majority of black teenagers think that the government of the United States should be destroyed. They make those safe reports about 3 to 4 in the morning. Or was it between 4 and 5 in the morning? Anyway, I would remember, days run into nights, and I have no schedule for sleep. This is encouraging in one sense, if that is the case, and I imagine down deep everyone knows it should be a new government, a people's government. Those old people, certainly, those beautiful seniors, were very informed. Muhammad Ali is undergoing a tax investigation. Oh, what did we expect differently? Obviously, because he had praised the Soviet Union and praised Cuba. And he was asked by the Nation of Islam to cease speaking out against the Soviets, or for the Soviets, and the Nation of Islam, in their so-called Bilalian, which means black in their term, newspaper, sharply criticized the Soviet Union for its treatment of Muslims. They're the only ones to point out such criticisms. But Mr. Wallace wanted to be sure that Muhammad Ali did not bring down any pressure on the nation of Islam. Apparently, Muhammad Ali is almost separated from the nation of Islam because he came back and said he would go where he wished and speak about what he liked. He was asked which did he like most, the holy city, which was the greatest honor, the holy city of Mecca, or with his meeting with the Soviet leaders. Ali answered that he could love both his wife and his mother, but he could not, as the Nation of Islam requested, say that he loved one more than the other. Muhammad Ali is Islam-oriented, and he said that he would not say that he loved Mecca, which all Muslims must say. All religion is the opiate of the people. All Muslims are required to say they love Mecca more than any experience in their life. But he said, I cannot say which I love more, my wife or my mother. President Carter is trying to shift some of the heads of the Joint Chiefs of Staff of the Army, Navy, and Air Force. He said that he felt confident that with the reshuffling, if we were attacked by the Soviet Union, there's nothing now but constant talk of the Soviet menace and how they're endangering world peace and liable to strike at any time, to whip up hate again, to whip up the war frenzy. The American people are so easily manipulated. He said, now with the reshuffling of the Chiefs of Staff, we would have the strength, the will, to retaliate in a nuclear war. Apparently, some of the Joint Chiefs of Staff had said that nuclear war was unacceptable, and so he's relieving them from their post. We have a president, apparently, more willing to do the fascist will of the establishment of monopoly capitalism, big business, and even the military. $10 worth of groceries last month now cost $11.77. Governor Brown spoke to a large crowd protesting the lack of pay raises for state employees and the numbers that have had to be put out of employment due to the Proposition 13, and Jerry Brown cleverly using up all of the $5 billion plus California surplus. He gave very unpopular responses to the people. He said, what you should be concerned about is those that are going to lose their jobs. But apparently those that were keeping their jobs were not concerned about the thousands that are faced with losing their jobs next year. They were still demanding for wage increases, which he has nothing to provide them. Wage increases. He's used all of the money up to keep from having to fire practically half of the California government, the welfare services and social services. So there's no money to make any wage increases that the present employees no doubt need. On a press conference, he said that in democracy, the people should be able to give up in order to help another person on their own selfish demands. Well, it's easy for Governor Brown to talk about what selfish demands, in that he's always been in an elitist, comfortable, middle-class family. He said to Governor Brown, the spokespeople for the labor sector said that when Safeway and Macy's and these big stores reduce their costs for us, Governor Brown, then we'll go along with your approach. Until, sir, that happens, talk to the big business people. Well, true. I'm still afraid that USA has no spunk or spirit if there's facing overt fascism. I don't think there's enough there. I've seen it before. I'm afraid there's too much apathy and it's too late. A leading black official, OCUR, which I'm not familiar with, says that big corporations still have all the fat. He named the millions of dollars P&E have ripped off Standard Oil from California, special tax privileges. He said that with the fat, they could employ all the unemployed. He was a government official in Governor Brown's administration. Palo Valley, California now has stickers all through their valley. Potter Valley, love it or leave it. It's evidently aimed, so the little news from Ukiah said, to the sector of the valley that is prejudiced against the hippie community. No black would dare live. No black would dare try to live in Potter Valley. Now, down to the news of the day. Guyana local officials are discussing their role under the new constitution in the second day of the reshuffling of authority and responsibility. Here we have that news is not needed to be repeated. I almost repeated some that had been given earlier. Apparently USA is bringing all force to bear to get the release of Ginsburg and Sharansky, who have been sentenced in what Radio Sweden calls rather light sentences. They're neutral, you know, a social democracy with vestiges of capitalism even, and certainly not pro-Soviet. But USA calls it a holocaust of repression, these two that have been sentenced. And USA is calling on monies, all kinds of things that they can trade for their release. Perhaps they can make political exchanges. The Soviets have said that it would be nice if they began with the Puerto Rican prisoners and the Wilmington 10. We'll see what comes of that. That was kind of hitting below the belt. There are many more of the Wilmington 10 and all of those Puerto Ricans that have been held for nearly 30 years. I don't know what the U.S. is going to have to say about that. The worst sentence handed down here, the worst sanction, was 8 years. The Puerto Ricans have been sentenced to life. The Wilmington 10 to life. Quadrupled. Some of them have 400 to 500-year sentences. No wonder Andy Young had to have a little slip of the tongue and say that there were thousands of political prisoners in USA. Secretary of State Vance has censured Andrew Young and said his comments were not helpful to the security of the United States, and he warned him in no uncertain terms that he must never speak his personal opinions again in public. Senior State Department official of USA had handed down the terse warning from Vance, who was really representing Carter and probably the Trilateral Commission, all of those puppets serving the Trilateral Commission, which is the monopoly capitalists that still rule the world, too much of it anyway, warned in the most severe fashion never to open his mouth again. Now, the Soviets today, for the first time, have handed down the death sentence to one Filatov, who was recruited by USA as a spy, the CIA, while in Algiers, and was providing secrets to the CIA under the Carter administration. He will be sentenced to death. Sadat says that he's hopeful that a peace agreement will come, that there were some specific results from the talks between the foreign minister of sellout Egypt and Zionist Israel in Austria. U.S. Senate appears to be preparing to block all exchanges of oil drilling equipment, computers, and wheat because of treatment, as they call it, of the Soviet Zionist dissidents. However, Senator Clark and some of the very few liberals said we're only cutting off our nose to spite our face. The Soviet Union can buy it from Japan. They can buy it from other European capitalist nations who these days are looking after their own interests with tariff barriers and protectionist policies. But USA is trying to prove that they're greatly concerned about human rights. Strange they don't begin with the Wilmington 10. The Soviets have challenged them. They'll release this scum that they have, as they call one of them, who risked the security of the Soviet Union by selling secrets, as Sharansky did, to the CIA. But the USA didn't even respond. I guess they don't believe the Wilmington 10 are quite as valuable as the two Soviets. Some way they don't feel that they're as worthy of attention as the Soviets. There's only two of those Soviet spies as opposed to all the Wilmington 10 and all the Puerto Ricans. It'll be interesting to see what comes out of the Soviet challenge. Sharansky got a surprisingly severe penalty with his young age and being charged with a capital crime that could have easily brought about the death sentence, selling spies, state secrets to the CIA, to the USA. That could have brought death and life in prison, but it didn't. 8 years. Anyway, nothing but that goes on in U.S. news to speak of. The meeting at the Economic Summit in Bonn, Germany, is dealing with energy, trade, and currency problems that are affecting what Carter said, a near breakdown in the cooperation of the capitalist community. Because the capitalist community is all kind of dividing. European common nation, common market, are looking at their interest, and Australia kind of apart from the rest, and Japan, separate from all, keeping its own surplus. Lots of difficulties. The Arab League beginning to talk about changing the medium of exchange because USA is not doing enough to fight their enemies, the liberators in the Horn of Africa. So we will see. Discussion has come up in the meeting between Schmidt and Carter about the deployment of neutron bombs. Herr Schmidt, Prime Minister of Fascist West Germany, has agreed that they are essential, finally, because there had been hesitancy on the part of West Germany to deploy them. But they have been convinced by the inhumane administration in Washington. Both sides in the negotiations on SALT talks, Foreign Minister of the Soviet Union Gromyko and the Secretary of State Vance said the usual, our USA released the usual, the useful pablum, or the usual pablum, in saying, and this is always what they say about every talk these days, they were useful. Now, whatever in the hell that means, there was no SALT agreement. There's no strategic arms limitation agreement. The Senate says it will not ratify one. It requires two-thirds, 67 out of the 100 senators to do it anyway. They say they won't do it because of the attitude, the Cold War attitude that has been built up again to a feverish pitch against the Soviet Union. So, it doesn't look like there's much hope. The most important news left I would see is the Ethiopian situation. Several provocations have taken place by the Somalians, who have been backed by the Chinese and USA imperialists. Ethiopian planes are now attacking Somalian cities. They had warned Somalia, USA and her Western backers, the Chinese who joined in this renegade exploitation, that the next time Somalia tried to move in on their territory, and last year it looked like Somalia, backed by the dread fascist imperialist, were succeeding. They'd almost taken over the Ogaden region of Ethiopia. And Eritrea, E-R-I-T-R-E-A, was nearly broken away. Now Eritrea is back in the jurisdiction, its rightful jurisdiction under Ethiopia, and so is the Ogaden. But Somalia started some border skirmishes, and now they're getting bombed. Their cities are getting bombed by Ethiopian planes. For 16 years, Somalia said, we have been fighting Western imperialism in Eritrea. Now we are tired of it, and we have warned you that we will take the war to our enemies. So that Somalia is feeling the blow of the bombs. USA is threatening Ethiopia, but Ethiopia is still bombing. So that will be the subject at the close now. Ethiopia. Ethiopia, near the extreme eastern bulge of Central Africa. The Sudan, S-U-D-A-N, forms its western boundary, the Red Sea its northern, and Kenya its southern boundary. To its east are the Somalia Republic, that has turned very fascistic in its foreign policy, backed by U.S. imperialism and its lackeys. And then the French territory of the Afars, capital A-F-A-R-S, and the Issus, I-S-S-A-S. Now we shall go on. How was it created? As the ancient Abyssinian, A-B-Y-S-S-I-N-I-A-N, empire, Black Ethiopia dates from biblical times. The recent monarchy traced its origin to the Queen of Sheba, capital S-H-E-B-A, and King Solomon, S-O-L-O-M-O-N. Conquered by Italy in 1936, the founder of fascism, Benito Mussolini, and liberated 5 years later, Ethiopia added the former colony of Eritrea, which had been a part of the original Ethiopian Empire, to present-day Ethiopia in 1952, and made it a state, a province, in 1962. What is the size? 471,800 square miles. That's big. Remember, Guyana is 83,000 square miles. So you're talking something about five and six times bigger than Guyana. It's about as big as France and Spain combined. So look on your map and you'll get an idea of how large it is. World maps tend to underestimate the size of Africa, not wanting it to be seen just how powerful that black continent is. Population is 27 million. Still a heavier ratio of people to the land than we have in Guyana. In fact, it's the best ratio in the world here. best future because there's more fertile land. People can always eat here and have food to give to other nations. It's one of the few nations that is true about. Population is 27 million. Of that, Galla, capital G-A-L-L-A, a racial group, is 33%. Amhara, capital A-M-H-A-R-A, as big as France and Spain combined, as I said, is broken up into several black nations, black ethnic groups. The Amhara are 25%. The Tigre, T-I-G-R-E, are 12%. Walamo, capital W-A-L-A-M-O, are 8%. Somali, S-O-M-A-L-I, are 6%. Garage, G-U-R-A-G-E, are 4%. Afar-Saho, capital S-A-H-O, capital F-A-F-A-R, 3%. Sidamo, S-I-D-A-M-O, 3%. Other races, 6%. More racial integration has been said than in most nations of the world. More people living peacefully together. 55% of the entire population are Coptic Christians, one of the most original Christian sects. 35% are Muslim. 10% are animist. Who rules? The Provisional Military Administrative Council, which deposed the Emperor Haile Selassie, capital H-A-A, capital H-A-I-L-E, capital S-E-L-A-S-S-I-E, in 1974, who ruled severely, gave all of the benefits to his family and the upper class rulers, while the people of Ethiopia lived in misery and utter starvation. When Haile Selassie was overthrown by the socialist military revolution, it was estimated that half of the people were starving to death. The military is supported by student groups and now even by the Coptic Church, a rare combination to find a church backing a pro-Soviet socialist revolution. Enter Ethiopia and you enter the Middle Ages, at least until very recently, until the revolution of socialism began to change things. Socialism had to pick up Ethiopia from the feudal days and bypass capitalism, and they're making great efforts to maintain the needs of their people through socialized medicine, socialized housing, and guaranteed employment. Known to his subjects as the Lion of Judah, King of Kings, and the Elect of God, its emperor was one of the world's only living examples of an absolute monarch before the Socialist Revolution, that is, Haile Selassie. Ethiopia's society was a classic feudal state, with the royal family, feudal lords, slaves, serfs, and the church controlling the land and the life of the people. Amharas, the landowning aristocratic class, collected 90% of their tenants' harvest. That's why there was half of the population starving before the socialist military revolution. In Harraj, capital H-A-R-A-R-G-E, Ethiopia's largest province, 75% of the land was owned by less than 1% of the people. In March 1975, the military government announced the nationalization of all farmlands and banned the use of hired labor and demanded that all people be given a share of the land. Haile Selassie tried to lead his subjects to a limited form of democracy, he said, an agrarian reform, but it never took place. It was cosmetic rhetoric. After all, such a move ran against the interest of his own feudal class, oppressor class. Reform came too slowly for the military, students, and professionals, who at first struck for higher wages, but eventually toppled the monarchy. Among striking groups were the capital's 50,000 prostitutes, who even joined in the revolution. As guardians of the people's happiness and well-being, they demanded a minimum fee of $10. the first time in history where prostitutes organized militantly and helped bring down a fascist regime. 50,000 prostitutes did that in Ethiopia. It's a hell of an interesting history. During the spring and summer of 1974, the military jailed some of the largest landowners, bureaucrats, and imperial aides in a fairly bloodless coup and dragged the King of Kings out of his Jubilee Palace in a blue Volkswagen police car amid students' shouts of thief, thief, murderer. He was evidently no longer the elect of God. The people had decided God was no longer running their business. The Coptic Church has kept Christianity alive in a sea of pagan and Muslim hostility for over 1,500 years. The institution has changed little in that time, gathering both power and land. It obliges the people to fast 180 days of the year. That was a good suggestion that the good church leaders would have. That would help excuse the fact that they have no food. They're actually fasting nearly half of the year. And commemorates so many saints' days that between feasting and fasting, very little work ever got done. This is particularly true in the rural areas where it wielded its greatest power. But the church has had its leaders deposed, and more socialist leaders from the laity brought up to the hierarchy of the church, and the church is now backing the military. Now the province of Eritrea, just a few words about it. It is a part of Ethiopia, but U.S. imperialists have tried to destroy that alliance and invade it several times. Ethiopian province along the Red Sea, Eritrea, capital Eritrea. What is its size? 45,400 square miles, just about half the size of Guyana. Population, 2 million, of mixed Arab black stock. And U.S. imperialism has tried to appeal to them their race prejudice against black Ethiopia, because most of the tribes of Ethiopia are black, more black than Arab. During the 19th century, the Amharas, conquering adjoining Muslim lands, and imposed their language and government. That's the aristocratic, landowning, racist sector before the revolution. Part of Eritrea, the Roman name for the land around the Red Sea, has been under intermittent Ethiopian control for all those centuries. This part was the Kingdom of Tigre, T-I-G-R-E, in the Central Mountains. Tigre is a part of the Ethiopian plateau, and its people are all Christian because they have participated in Ethiopian culture for over 1,000 years. Most Tigrians believe Eritrea is a lost province of Ethiopia. However, that part of Eritrea, right along the Red Sea in the north and west of the province, has been traditionally Muslim. These people have fought any union with Ethiopia and want Eritrea to be an independent state. After World War II, however, the United Nations decided, rightfully, that Eritrea should federate with Ethiopia because of its long history, and the majority of the population preferring Ethiopia. Eritrea would handle local affairs while Ethiopia would handle external ones, like defense and foreign affairs. In 1962, Ethiopia canceled Eritrea's so-called autonomy because of U.S. imperialism trying to break it away from the Ethiopian Federation, and made her a province. Eritreans, meanwhile, having enjoyed greater political freedoms, they thought, under the British and Italian rule, the aristocratic element of Eritrea, that is, weren't about to be returned to that type of program. So separatists formed the ELF, the Eritrean Front, made up of both Christians and Muslims who wanted independence and were getting strong financial backing from the U.S. capitalist and her lackey allies. Over a decade of guerrilla fighting exploded into major battles in early 1975 with direct USA participation, resulting in over 6,000 deaths. Now the fighting has subsided, as Ethiopia has shown that the people are with Ethiopia for the majority in Eritrea, and the Ethiopian people have a will to protect their sovereign lands, and particularly their provinces from capitalist domination and exploitation. Thus ends the news of this day with a commentary on Ethiopia, because Ethiopia is taking action that USA says again endangers nuclear war. Thank you and much love. You can now review the news again. Be sure to catch up on other things, because I'm making news shorter, so you can go back and catch up on other things and talk much about the golden years. Those golden years. The black mother, 69 going on 70, one limb gone, dirty old room with her little grandson. He has no future when she dies. She talks about a living hell, which 12 years before, her daughter never even came to see her when her limb was cut off. The other daughter, the mother of that child, abandoned him because the system alienates everyone. All of them alone, the poor little lady that had been mugged and was blind, had more sense than the middle class, more sense than those up and able-bodied. She didn't blame those teens, she blamed the capitalist system for no jobs, for giving no hope. All of them spoke of life being worse than death, looking forward to death. Some of them had been superintendents, owned their businesses, but in the end, no one cared. No one shared. One man said, I was so glad in that empty, cold nursing home just to talk to the camera people who were interested only, of course, in making a movie. How pitiful. And it could be you, and would have been you, certainly. Those were business people, some of them. All races, white and black. Age in USA is a dead-end street, a dark, dark end of a tunnel. And we need to talk about, there's much more, I don't want to take up your time, sensitize each other, because as we are sensitive to other people's needs, we'll be more sensitive to each other. Much love. Elected for senator in the fall. He has had to pay $5,000 a month alimony. No other senator, if he were not black, would have had this kind of public scrutiny over a divorce proceeding and be charged with perjury. What will come of it in terms of federal indictments or criminal indictments is still not known. Japan police have arrested 80 principal gang leaders because they're fearful of an all-out gang war that could even disrupt the Japanese government. They have been organizing into several death squads after the leading Japanese mobster. Japan knew nothing of gangsters or mobsters or mafia until after USA occupied after World War II. Anyway, they've moved into various death squads trying to seek revenge for the leading mobster of Japan, who was shot point blank in the neck while on trial, and his neck blown open and killed. LA Rams have been charged with discrimination. It is before the government body that decides that. A judge in New Jersey has ordered the arrest of the principal New York Times reporter. The press is getting a little of the heat they have so willingly and obligingly put out on socialists who would dare try to change U.S. society and make it decent and humane, because the Supreme Court has upheld that their files can no longer be kept secret, that they are the property of any police agency. Well, the New York Times correspondent news when refused to release his notes on a story of a doctor who was charged with murder, and he has now been arrested and will be held until he decides to give up this information. Newsmen all over the United States are crying about this. that it threatens the very role of investigative journalism. Yes, why didn't they use their investigative journalism on the government while they had a chance, instead of trying to destroy groups like People's Temple and Huey and Synanon that were offering some other hope, at least a little hope, for some of U.S. society? Guyana firmed up the agreement with China over a tile-making plant. All of it has been handed over by China today to Guyana. All the equipment in the factory. It will make 134,000 tiles annually in Georgetown. Two-part Commonwealth workshop for teaching metric system in school and management. There may be a move to the metric system in all of the CARICOM communities, so we better be thinking about that in our mathematical department. It's sponsored by CARICOM, the Economic Cooperative Community, which Guyana is a member, to assist all CARICOM nations to go to the metric system, and this will be decided on a date very soon. So our school better start learning about the metric system. Minister of Health has received considerable medical equipment for community health programs. Free health programs are being set up throughout Georgetown. A leading Burmese citizen was murdered and her lover then poisoned himself while in the hospital. Massey Ferguson having a training course in the Northwest District for government and private and collective farmers. Barbados foreign minister leaves Guyana on his way to United Kingdom to try to talk to Judith Hart into getting away from some of the severe sanctions that England has against Guyana. England seems to be showing the bitterness of U.S. imperialism. They're using England, which our various cabinet minister friends have said leave Guyana friendless, so that we have in common, but we can stand together as socialists. That is the end of the late news. I wanted to give you all the news. I don't decide on what, like the New York Times, is fit. That's for you to listen to and decide. The end of the news, and you can review it again now. Much love.